I don't know if you have ever heard a message in two languages simultaneously, but you're going to do that today. We'll share I'll be speaking and signing at the same time in a little bit, and hope that it will be a blessing to you. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I looked that verse up because I wanted to see if the word hearing meant understanding. It doesn't mean understanding. It is the physical act of hearing. So you say, well, does that mean that deaf people cannot hear the gospel? Well, they cannot hear through these. I thought I turned it on. I turned it on. I just want it to be known.
Oh, my. Do you mind if I put this down? Is that all right? How about that? I feel like I'm looking. Anyway, deaf cannot hear through these, but they can hear through these. So yesterday we had a meeting. Thank you, by the way, for hosting us all week. We've enjoyed being with your folks. Thank you for the opportunity to invite deaf to come to your church. And yesterday we had six deaf that were here. One of them is our friend Wally. He's from our area, came with us to be a part today, and we're glad he's with us. We had five other deaf. Terry and I had never met. And so as we come here to teach sign language this week, you say, well, we don't have any deaf people in our church. Well, you did yesterday. And God drew them here as a result of your folks who have a heart for deaf people and had invited them to come. And they came. We'd never met them before, and may I say, probably we would not have met them if it were not for us coming here for the classes that we had this last week and a couple of months ago, three, 4 months ago. And they got to hear the Word of God yesterday. They can't hear through their ears, but they all heard through their eyes, and I do praise God that what a privilege it is for us to be able to. You know, it's hard to imagine that in America, you could find somebody who has never heard the gospel. Isn't that hard? We think, well, everybody's heard the gospel. I mean, we have it on the radio. We have it in preaching in pulpits all across the country. But I want you to know that not everyone has gotten to hear the gospel. Every day, 1,500 deaf people die. Every day. The statistics tell us that 93% of deaf people will never attend a church. Part of the reason for that is, and let me speak to fundamental churches, I'm not talking about other denominations or religions that don't preach the gospel. I'm talking about churches that preach the gospel. Only 4% of those churches have any ministry to the deaf. So why would deaf people go to church? Does that make sense to you? For example, you're not answering. If you came to church, what I said with my lips only, if you came to church and that's all you could see or hear, how long would you come to the church? Does that make sense to you? 4% of churches, fundamental churches in America, have any kind of ministry to the deaf. So we're thankful for Trinity having a heart and having people who have a heart for the deaf. Do they know the deaf here yet? Not yet. But I'm going to tell you that until you get your heart prepared for them to come, God's not going to bring them here. It's my feeling. But thank God they came yesterday. Some of them came yesterday. I think there's more out there than we know about. The gospel. The statistics tell us that less than 2% of deaf people will ever see the gospel clearly presented for them in their lifetime. By the way, can I say to you that before they were born deaf, they were already a sinner in the womb of their parents. And deaf people don't get an excused entrance into heaven because they're deaf. They're already sinners. And you and I both know that the wages of sin is, yeah, they can't go to heaven. They don't go to heaven just because they have an excused a handicap and they get an excuse to go. No, they will not go to heaven. They will be separated from God, not only during their lifetime here on the earth,
but for all of eternity, unless somebody does something. So we want to thank you for opening the doors of your church to us to be able to come and spend the week teaching your folks. When is God going to begin the deaf ministry here? We don't know, but we want you all to be ready for when that time comes. We want a deaf person, by the way, we brought them on a tour yesterday, gave them a whole tour of the church so they know where the bathrooms are, and they know where the kitchen is, and they know where the church is, they know where the deaf sit when they come, because all of those things are very intimidating when you've never been to a church before and you can't communicate with most of the people that are there. And so Terry and I are very grateful that we got a chance to come and be a part of that ministry. Let me ask you a question I asked yesterday in that room. If I knew the cure for cancer, and I only told the people in my family, and they got the cure for cancer, but those of you who aren't in my family, you had cancer in your family, but I didn't tell you about it, what would you think of me? If I was a financial advisor, and I knew that if you invested your money in a certain thing, you were going to triple your money, but I didn't tell any of you that, what would you think of me? I hope you know where I'm headed with this. I know how to get to heaven. How many of you know from the Bible, you have a Bible reason, you know that you're on your way to heaven, you know it, you've seen it, you've read it. How many of you know that? Yeah, you're allowed to raise your hand, church. I won't make you do anything. I've known it since I was, before I could hardly walk, I was being taken to church, and I was learning, I learned scripture songs before I ever learned Mary Had a Little Lamb. I mean, I was taught scripture verses from the time before I could even read those verses. I was raised in a home where my mom and dad both loved Christ, knew him, and raised me to get to know him. And so at a very early age, I came to know Christ as my personal Savior. By the way, I've never gotten over that. Your pastor talked about it earlier. God reached to me with his grace. I can't get over that. But now I want to take that same thing that I have learned and tell someone else. I'm thankful for my wife. We've been serving the Lord together for over 40 years together. And God has blessed us with this ministry to the deaf. And so we go around and we have a mandate that we've placed on our own selves in our ministry. We want to, every deaf person we meet, we want to make sure that if they're going to go to hell, they're going to have to step over Jesus to get there. So yesterday, 5 deaf people came to this meeting. We don't know. We'd never met them before. So guess what I'm going to do with them yesterday? I'm going to make sure they got to step over Jesus. If they're going to go to hell, I want them to know who Jesus is. I want them to know what he did for them. I want them to know that he loved them enough to leave heaven. We all know that. I want them to know that. And by the way, I didn't save one person. I've never saved anybody. But I got to tell them how they can be saved. Are you with me? And that's what I want to share with you today. Open your Bibles and I'll take over there. Open your Bibles to the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, if you have your Bible there. We've read it already, chapter 33. I want to just share with you a simple... I love when God gives us pictures. I've always been a picture person. I like books with pictures. I get teased about that, but I don't mind words, but I really like when they have a picture in there. It helps me to understand and see it clear. And God does that for us all the way through the Bible. And here in the Old Testament, we've just read already these verses, so I'm going to just get right to the point with you today. I want you to focus on the things that are most important to God, the priority of God. You know, we come here today and we have priorities. We want certain things, and we want people to do certain things. And some people leave a church because their priorities are not fitting in with the church. And so they decide it's not for me. That's fine. But today, did you know God has priorities? There are things that are precious to the heart of God. And you can tell, if you've read your Bible, you'll know what they are. He doesn't hide them. He makes them very clear for us. And here in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, we see one of the priorities of God. And I want to just share that with you. Let's pray and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we come here today. We're needy people. We don't have enough wisdom ourselves to know what our lives should be, but you do. And so we pray you would help us, all of us here today. I pray you would help me to be filled with your Spirit so that these folks who are filled with your Spirit as well will hear from you today, not from me. I know who I am. I know I'm weak. I know I fail, but I know you are perfect. And you are amazingly powerful. And I pray that you would help us today to experience that, the power of the Word of God that you've given us. Help us to be faithful to what we hear today in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want you to see here, we've already read this passage. The picture God gives us is a person. He says there, look in verse 2 with me, we'll begin there. He says, Son of man, speak to the children of the people and say unto them, when I bring the sword, that means when I bring an enemy that comes to your land, when that enemy comes, I need you to take a man from your coast and set him for the watchman. So I think you get the picture. God says there are, and by the way, did you know you have enemies? That's not a surprise, is it? Matter of fact, we're finding more and more and more and more enemies every day as we go through life. But we have enemies. And God said there are going to be enemies that come. They want to destroy you. Now, he's speaking to the nation of Israel here. I understand that. But I think we can apply it to us today as well. Would you agree? There's enemies that are coming. They want to destroy your family. They want to destroy your marriage. They want to destroy your personal connection with God. They want to destroy your life, really. And they're not hiding it anymore. It's wide open in the open that we can see it. And here God says, I need you to choose a man from among you. I like that. God said, don't hire a person. Don't bring a person from another town to come to be your watchman. Choose a person from your town. Why? I will tell you the truth. If I was the watchman and my wife and our children lived over in another town over there, I would do my best. But if I know that behind me is my wife, our children are in this town that I'm up in the tower looking out, I'm going to be paying attention a little bit better. Would you agree? This, he says, is personal. It's personal. Choose a person from your midst. And I will say, God is looking for people in this church right here. And he says, I want you to be a watchman. Now, he describes him. I call this the warning watchman, but there's two different watchmen in these verses. There's the first one, and I want you to see him with me. He's the warning watchman. He, it says in verse 3, let me finish verse 2. Look at verse 3. If when he sees, that watchman sees the sword or the enemy come upon the land, he will blow the trumpet and warn the people. So let's get the picture. The man whose responsibility, it's his turn to be the watchman. He climbs up in that tower. He gets up there and he begins to look around. And he's watching and watching. His responsibility, there's three things he's responsible to do. First, he has to watch, obviously. He's got to keep his eyes open. He's looking. He's not doing this. By the way, it's not only teenagers. You senior citizens are the same anyway. It's not this. It's, I'm paying attention. This is my responsibility is to be watching. We have to be looking for what? We're not looking to see what the weather's doing. We're looking to see if the enemy is coming. We have one responsibility, one. So we've got to see. So the second thing he has to do, let's say that the watchman's up there and he's looking. He sees over here some dust that's coming. And he thinks, is that an enemy or is that just the wind? And then he sees a whole army of people coming. Soldiers are marching. He goes. Some of you are sleeping and I just woke you up. That's what the watchman would do. He's trying to wake them up. He's warning. Do that with me. Would you do this sign? This is the sign for warn.
Don't you, mothers knew this sign. When their children were reaching for something. Right?
He had to warn. He'd blow the trumpet. And then I want you to see what happens. So I'm going to teach you some signs today. Do this one. Do this as the letter R. Do it with both hands. Put it on your left shoulder. Unless you're right hand or left handed, you can do it on the other if you want. This is a sign for responsible or responsibility. The watchman is up there in the tower. He is responsible to watch. Do I need to do it again? to blow the trumpet and then to say, the enemy's coming. He's warning you. So he's turned to the people in his town. He sees, he warns, he blows the trumpet, all those things. Those are his responsibilities. So today, you are the watchman. If you have already received Christ yourself, you know for sure if you die right now, you're going to go to heaven. You know that. You don't have doubts, you're sure. You have verses in the Bible, you can prove it. You could lead a person and say, this is why I know I'm going to heaven. We call that saved, of course. That's a Christian word we use. You know I'm saved. By the way, we sign it, saved, finished. Saved, finished. When you prayed to receive Christ, he gave you eternal life. Not life until you sin again. Amen? I'm happy for the word eternal and everlasting. I like that. And we have that. So we are this watchman. It's our responsibility. We are to be watching for the danger that comes. We are to be warning the people we love. Do you understand what I'm saying? If my wife and my children are there in the town, I'm the watchman. I'm warning them. I'm going to blow that trumpet loud. I held back a little bit because I have this microphone. I thought about that after I did. Anyway, I held back a little bit. But if I would blow as loud as I possibly could, I would send that warning out as far as I could to every person that I love. And then I do, look what it says. When I do that, look, drop down to verse 4. Then, so he's seen, he's blown the trumpet, he's warned. Then, verse 4, whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet and takes not the warning, if the sword or the enemy comes and takes him away, his blood shall be where? On himself. So I'm the watchman. I see, oh, I grab the trumpet. I blow it. I warn you all, hey, the enemy's coming. The enemy's coming. And you say, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He is always saying, oh, sin, you know. And you ignore me, but I'm telling you the truth. And the enemy comes in. The people who were warned, they fight, they're ready. But the person who was lazy and decided, oh, Jim Bracelin, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And they ignore. If the enemy comes and destroys their life, who's responsible? They are. So watch me. This first person, verses 2, 3, and 4, I call him the warning watchman. Here's what happens. His responsibility is to look for danger. He sees it. He blows the trumpet. He warns. And watch what happens. Responsibility gets shifted. So if I see and I blow and I warn, I do this, and I do this. This is sign language, by the way. So who has the responsibility now? You all. I've done my job. Is that clear? So yesterday, in that room over there, in your, what room? Youth, in the youth room, we were young yesterday, in that youth room over there, guess what we did? We have seen the danger. We stood. We took this and we gave it to them in their language. And not only that, but we went to them and we warned them. This is real. But you know what happened after that? We took the responsibility. We gave it to them. Now they have responsibility to do what? They can believe, receive, or they can refuse. I cannot force any... By the way, if I could force a person to be saved, I would. But I can't. But I do have to give it as clear as I possibly can. So they understand and they have no excuse. One day, every person who's been born will stand before God. On that day, there'll be no sneaking around and getting away with anything. We're going to give an answer for what we believe and what we've done with Jesus Christ. And so I want you to see, that's the first watchman. He sees, he blows, he warns. Now I want you to see down, look at verse 6. We're going to skip verse 5 for now. We'll come back. Verse 6. What's the first word in verse 6? But. It's interesting, in sign language, the word but is the same as the word different. Same sign. You see the word but in your Bible, that means there's a difference. For example, if I said, Wally, you look really good today, but... What's coming next? Is it going to be positive or negative? Which? It's going to be negative. It's going to be the opposite. It's a contrast. So verse 6 begins with a contrast. But if the watchman sees the sword come, and what? He decides, not sure if it's really an enemy or if it's just the wind blowing. He doesn't blow the trumpet. And the people here, or here behind me, they're still sleeping, they're playing, they're eating, they're cooking, they're working, but they don't know over there the enemy's come. They don't know. You with me? He goes on and says, the people be not warned if the sword, if the enemy comes and takes away those people from among them. I want you to notice very specifically the wording of this verse. It says in that verse that the person that's taken away from among them, he's taken away in what? What's it say? Look in your verse 6. Are you with me? I'll go again. I'll pause when I get there. But the watchman sees the sword come. He does not blow the trumpet. The people are not warned. If the sword of the enemy comes and takes away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, not the watchman's. So yesterday, we have deaf people come to your church first time. They'd never been here before. They came yesterday. We know the gospel. If we did not tell them the gospel, we just said, oh, wonderful to see you. I hope you enjoy the food. Come back. And we never told them the gospel. Are you with me? And they left here, got in their car, went out of here, which could happen easily, and they have an accident, and they die, what happens to them? They die in their sin. They don't go to heaven. Make sense? That's the picture. But he goes on, he says, so they will die, they're taken away in their iniquity, but there's another but. Do you see that? Verse 6. But what? Their blood will I require, where? At the watchman's hand. So the watchman, the first warning watchman, he sees the danger coming, and he takes that and he shares it with the people. He blows the trumpet, warns. He takes responsibility this way. The second watchman has responsibility, same as the first one. But he decides, don't need to tell him now, I'll wait a little bit. I still want to finish my game. And he keeps going. But the responsibility is still here. I never take it from here to there. It's still mine. Make sense? If you are here today, I'm not really trying to give you guilt, but I guess I am. If you're here today and you know how to go to heaven,
You know that the world outside of this church, outside here, your community, where you, your neighbors, the people that you work with and go to school with, those people need Jesus. They need him. And you know him. And you know how you can receive Jesus yourself. You have responsibility. You've seen the danger coming. But you decide, I'm just going to hold it myself. I don't want to, I've heard people say this, I don't want to offend anybody. A person that will spend eternity in hell would rather you offend them a little bit today for a few minutes than not to tell them what you know is going to happen for them in the future. And by the way, it's not your choice. God's called you. He saved, God saves you, and God gives you this responsibility to be the warning watchman. If you refuse, the people you don't tell will go to hell one day in their sin. But responsibility for their blood will be on you. It stayed here. I want you to see, who is this watchman? Simple question. Who is the watchman? Look at verse 5. It says in verse 5, we skipped that earlier. He, that is the watchman, heard the sound of the trumpet. I'm sorry, this is the person in the town. They heard the sound of the warning and took not warning. They didn't follow it. They didn't trust Christ in our picture. They didn't listen to the warning. It says in verse 5 that their blood is on them. But the person who took warning delivered their soul. I want to encourage you. I grew up in this area pretty much. I was born in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. And I grew up there, went to high school locally, not too far from here. By the way, played softball on that field right over across the railroad tracks in an all-star game. I love that play. Anyway, I grew up here. When I was going to high school, I met a guy in eighth grade. His name was Chuck. He became my best friend. We both played the trumpet. Believe it or not, I can play the trumpet better than what I did this morning. We both played the trumpet, and we both loved athletics and different things. My friend Chuck was not saved. I've been saved for 61 years. I got saved when I was 6. And so I had a burden for Chuck. He's my best friend. I want to see him in heaven, right? And so I begin to witness to him. I'm just an eighth grade kid. Ninth grade, 10th grade. I witness. My best friend, Chuck, he tells me at one time, he said, "Stop. I know what you believe. I know what you think I need to do. Stop. I'm tired of you telling me." So I said, "Okay, I will stop telling you. But I want you to listen to me." I said to him, "I will not stop praying for you." Amen. I love him. I love him. I know hell is real. And so I pray and I pray and I pray. And God, when we were in the 11th grade, so now there were four years later, I invite him to come with me to hear three brothers play the trumpet. I didn't tell him they were Christians. You don't have to tell everything you know. And he came, and we went to the Valley Forge Music Fair. How many of you ever been there? Anybody? Yeah, wasn't it a cool place? Had a circular platform in the middle, and you seat all the way around. And I remember I got tickets the day of the concert. And so I thought, oh, they're going to be bad seats. We were in the third row. It was the coolest thing. Now, Chuck, he has no idea. All he knows is I paid for his ticket to go hear some trumpet players. There was a guy there that sang, Doug Oldham. He was a big man. And he came and they shared. So the trumpet players played first or second, and Doug sang first. And Chuck and I are sitting here, like we're literally like right in front.
And God touched
my best friend's heart.
The trumpet guys were incredible. They were amazing. They finished and my best friend, the guy sang. And at the end of the last song, there was a song back in the day. I'm old, so it's a long time ago. It was called The Church Triumphant. And in one part, there's a speaking part. And when Doug Oldham, this big man, he was over 300 pounds. He came around. He's like right in front of us. He was close as you and I are away. And he said these words, Satan, he's right in front of us. Satan, you haven't killed God yet with your noisy unbelief. And he talked about Christ rising from the dead. We sang about it this morning. And my friend Chuck is sitting there with me. And I have goosebumps. But I'm praying. God, save my friend. I don't want him going to hell. He came around, and I thank God. He had us. He said, bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to ask you a question. I was so thankful he gave an invitation. Because my best friend's not saved. He gave the invitation. He went through the gospel, which I will explain in a little bit. When he finished, he says, any person here, you prayed with me and you said, I prayed, I received Christ. And I'm going to tell you what happened. I was doing the holy peak. I know you do it too. Don't you judge me. By the way, pastor can see you doing it too. But I did a holy peek, and Chuck was sitting right here to my left, and I opened his one eye, and I looked over, and I watched my best friend raise his hand. He'd never been in a good church before. He didn't know the rules about raising your hand. Right? You know, you raise your hand, you put it back down, right? Chuck didn't know that. The whole way through the invitation, I wanted to jump up and down and run around that room. My friend had just prayed, and he wasn't ashamed. But I want to tell you, and by the way, I'm thankful, you'll get to meet my best friend in heaven. But if I had been I call this second watchman, the wasted watchman. He climbed up in that tower. He saw the danger coming. He decided he's not going to warn. And people died in their sin. I want to just challenge you today. There are people all around you. I'm sorry. There are people all around you who need a warning watchman. You don't need to force the gospel on anybody. But you do need to make it as clear as you can. Hey, you know what it requires? It requires we live what we preach. I have a thing that I put over my desk. By the way, it's very convicting for me to preach this message to you. Why? I have to do this. Or my preaching's in vain. Worthless. Amen? I have a thing I put, if you don't live it, don't preach it. And I believe that you and I first need to get serious about our walk with God. All of you who are saved here today, God's looking for some people who will warn. And he's depending on us. He's left us here. God doesn't rent billboards. He doesn't, well, I know there's some billboards, but you know, that's not really God. Somebody paid for that, right? And God doesn't advertise on TV, but he really is hoping that you will be so on fire for him and what he's done for you. We've sang here beautifully this morning about the grace and the mercy of God and how exciting it is to be saved. And then we're going to leave here all week till you come back next Sunday. No. No. God has saved you because he wants you to be this first watchman. You say, I'm shy. I couldn't do that.
You can be shy. It's fine. There's many ways to share Christ. Many ways. Your Facebook posts would be better not talking about politics, but posting a verse once in a while, so that the person who's hurting and their life is a shambles will say, you know what, my friend posted that verse. I wonder if they have an answer for me. There's many ways to share Christ. Amen? But the one thing I don't want you to do is that second watchman. Because the truth, look at verse 7. I ask that question, who is this watchman? Verse 7 tells you who. I'm going to warn you. I'm being the warning watchman. It's you. Verse 7. So thou, or you, O son of man, I have set you as a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. Do you know you are a representative, not of the president, not of a king. You are the representative of the King of all kings. He has chosen you. That's hard to believe. I feel sorry for God. I know me. I'm thinking, me? Of all people, me? I mess up. I fail. I'm weak. I'm ashamed. I'm afraid. All blah, blah, blah. I got a whole bunch of excuses. By the way, you think I'm bold. I'm here. I'm bold. I'm not. Your preacher's not. Yes, God's called him to preach, but he has the same fears and nervousness that you have. But we have a Savior. I want to tell you, there is no plan B to get to heaven. There's only one. Jesus said, I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus, period. I don't care what your religion is. I started yesterday with that. Religion cannot forgive your sins. If it could, then it would mean your pastor could forgive your sins. He can't. He's a debtor just like you. He's a sinner just like you. We don't depend on a man who stands here to forgive us. Many churches are doing that today. But we depend on one person, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, lived without sin, died in our place, was buried, rose from the grave, and that is the only person who could purchase our forgiveness for sin, Jesus only. Do you know that? If you know that, who have you told recently? Does your life show that? Do the people that you work beside know that? Does your neighbor know that? You know, I always think if my home is going to get robbed, it'll be on a Sunday. Because my neighbors know, no, we're not there. I mean, if anybody watches, they know we're not there. That should be the case. We should be faithful. I will never forget when 9/11 happened. How many of you remember that day? Yeah, I think it was a Tuesday, right? I think it was a Tuesday. Tuesday, I had heard about everything that happened. I arrived home on Tuesday afternoon, and my neighbor from across the street came across the street, and he asked me a question. Are you going to have a prayer service tonight? I said, yes, at dinner. Bring your wife, come over for dinner. We will have a prayer service at our home. Why did he come across and ask me that? He should be that. It should be that your neighbors know, oh, those people. So when COVID hit, you know, remember that one? Boy, do we remember that. Anyway, COVID hit, and we're told, stay inside your house. Don't open your door. Don't open the windows. Stay. Anyway, we didn't obey. Amen. We went out, and we have a pine tree. We live on a corner. Our home is on a corner.
We have this pine tree right here on the corner. I went out, I got a big poster board like this, and I wrote on it, if you need prayer, call this number. I put it out there. We had people contact us. People should know who you are. Be the warning watchman. Don't be a wasted watchman. One last thing, and then I'm finished. I could stand here and blow this trumpet, and all of you are like, whoa, what's that guy, crazy? But while he sits here, he doesn't hear anything. If he lived in my town, and I warned and warned and warned the best I could, but he cannot hear me. He needs a person to learn his language and go to him. Warning, warning, warning. Enemy's coming. Warning, come on, come on. Now, responsibility then goes to him. But until I do that and tell him in his language, and he doesn't know, I am guilty of being the wasted watchman. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for this morning. I'm thankful for these folks. I'm thankful for this church that really does have a heart to see deaf people saved. Oh, I know it's still in the process of happening, but God, I'm grateful that they've had a burden enough to open their hearts and open their doors for deaf to come here, even yesterday. I'm thankful. I'm eternally thankful for the two people who had their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life yesterday. God, I pray that you will give us a burden to never stop telling that story. With your heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment, who is that watchman? We are the watchman. And today, if you're here and you have never trusted Christ, let me put it a different way. If you're here today and if your life ended, you're not 100% sure that you would go to heaven, I'm going to tell you today, God sent me to be your warning watchman. And I'm thankful to do it. If you're here and you don't know for sure if you died, you're going to heaven, there's four simple things I want to give you very quickly. Number one, you are a sinner. We all are. Secondly, that sin will not allow you to go into heaven. Heaven's a perfect place. God's a perfect God, pure and holy. You can't take sin into heaven or it no longer is heaven. But God loved you so much. This is the third thing. You know this. God loved you so much. He sent his son Jesus, pure, perfect, holy, and righteous, to die in your place for your sin. Jesus didn't just die for your sin. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose from the grave. And here's what the Bible says. If you will confess with your mouth, if you will agree with God that Jesus is his son, pure, perfect, and holy, who died for your sins, was buried, if you'll believe, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you can have assurance that you're going to touch heaven. It's a gift. Just like any other gift, you have to receive that gift. I can lay that gift in front of you. I cannot force you to receive it. But in this case, I'm going to beg you to receive it. If you're here today, you don't know for sure if you died, you're going to heaven. Would you pray a simple prayer right where you are? Something like this. And by the way, just words will not save you. You got to really mean this with all of your heart. But say something like this. Dear Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know that my sin would keep me out of heaven. I believe Jesus died in my place. I believe he was perfect. And I believe he died there because he loved me. I believe he was buried, and I believe he rose from the grave and is alive today. And I believe he offers me the gift of forgiveness in him. Today, I will trust Jesus Christ. Not a church, not a baptism, not religion, but Jesus and only Jesus to forgive my sins. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you prayed that simple prayer with me just now, I just want to pray for you as I close my part of the service today. Say, Jim, I prayed with you. I really meant business. Would you just raise your hand real quickly? I'll wait just a moment as I look around. Anybody, I prayed with you today and I meant business. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. Christian, this message is really for us. I believe God put these verses in this Bible
so we will not be a wasted watchman. And I hope that today it's convicted you. It's convicted me. Like I said, I have to live this too. But I'd like to see all of us. Can you imagine, folks, just think for a moment, if all of us lived these, the reality of these verses out in our everyday walk. I cannot go where you will be tomorrow. You will not be where I am tomorrow. So that means God wants each of us to be this light that takes the gospel to the world. Will you accept that? Father, thank you for this time. I pray you'd continue to work through these verses and these simple thoughts throughout this week ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.